Hello, welcome back to Ring Ratings Rants and Reflections with me, Tristix, and joined as always by Dougie Fisher and Tom Gray. Guys, we delayed this podcast because we wanted to see what happened in the heavyweight showdown between Luis Ortiz and Andy Ruiz. Dougie, what happened?
Well, I think we were expecting to see a statement fight from Andy Ruiz. He's the younger man. He's the man with the momentum coming into this fight. Luis Ortiz had looked vulnerable at the start of this year against Prince Charles. He got the knockout victory in that fight, but it seemed as though his punch resistance had left him. And he was looking every bit of his 43 years of age. And we expected the 32-year-old Andy Ruiz really to steamroll him. At least the odds makers did, and most fans and members of the media thought that's what we were going to see. And most of us had hoped that it would be just a fun shootout while it lasted. And it looked like that's the complexion the fight was going to take in the second round when Ortiz hit the canvas twice. But Ortiz, even though his punch resistance has seemed to leave him, he's still very ring savvy. And he's still got a ton of heart, and he still has his championship level experience. So he stuck around and he took Andy Ruiz the distance. And I thought the official scorecards were fair. There were two scorecards of 114-111 and 113-112, which is the tally that I came up with, which means I had Luis Ortiz actually winning the fight in rounds, 7-5. But Andy Ruiz scored 3 knockdowns, 2 in the second round, and I think 1 in the seventh. He hangs on for the victory, but he does not look like a world beater. I'll leave it at that. He's a player, and depending on your opinion, maybe Luis Ortiz at age 43 is still a player in the heavyweight division, even if it's as a gatekeeper.
Tom, what does the fight tell us? Did it tell us anything we didn't already know?
Well, first of all, before I answer that question, I refuse to believe that Luis Ortiz is younger than me. I'm not buying
either.
I'm not buying 43 years old and a million. I'm 47. I'll tell you what, he's had a hard paper round if he's 43. What does it tell us? Excuse me. I think that Andy Ruiz is still carrying. He's never going to be aesthetically pleasing, but I still think he can get down and wait a bit. I think that his finishing, he could have finished Ortiz if he wasn't carrying so much weight, because he's just got such difficulty closing the gap. He kind of trudges forward, and even Ortiz, at whatever age he is, has got the space and the time to move around and kind of survive. There's just no explosiveness with Andy Ruiz on his feet. The remarkable thing is he's got excellent hand speed. There was a time where I think Ortiz crossed over a left hand and Ruiz slipped it and let go with this fantastic burst. He's got excellent hand speed for a man of his size, but he's just so slow on his feet.
Tom, I think his feet are faster than we believe it to be.
Well, it's a decision that he's making then not to close the gap.
Think it was a choice. I think he got stung towards the end of the opening round. And even in that second round where he dropped Ortiz twice, Ortiz punched him back.
Yeah, he did. He caught him a good left hand.
Yeah, Ortiz was willing to go out on his shield when he was hurt. He would go down. He looked bewildered. He got up, and he would fire back. And I think he earned Andy Ruiz's respect. Yeah. And Ruiz was a bit leery to initiate. I think Ruiz and Ruiz's corner realized he had a clear advantage, a clear edge in hand speed and reflex. Yep. Really, not so much the hand speed. It's just as the younger man, he can pull the trigger a lot quicker than the older veteran. And he was looking to hurt and stop Ortiz off a counterpunch. Yep. And he had great counterpunches. And he had nice lead right hands occasionally. There was no follow-up. Yep. There was no follow-up. There was no combination punch
very,
to the
very,
body of
very,
the head.
Very. I thought he was very limited in terms of the second phase of attack. I mean, if you've got a 43 whatever year old man in front of you, I just thought he could have been a bit more adventurous. And yes, I mean, we all know that Ortiz can punch, but you know, Andy Ruiz has been in with top-level fighters, top-level punchers, Joshua can whack. I just thought he should have been a bit more adventurous in terms of his offense and his follow-up.
So, Tom, are they both players or neither of them players when you look at the cream of the crop?
I like the fight between if Wilder can get past Helenius, I like the matchup between Andy Ruiz and Wilder if that fight can be made. Politically, it's easy to make. I mean, Wilder has obviously got the power to smoke him completely. But I'd love to see Wilder overreach or overshoot a right hand, miss the target and fall into one of those bursts, because Andy Ruiz is extremely heavy-handed, and I think he could put a dent in Deontay Wilder. I mean, in all the lead-up, I mean, you guys will remember, in the lead-up to the Fury fight, Tyson was essentially being called, the Fury fights with Wilder, I mean, Tyson was essentially being labelled as feather-fisted. He couldn't put a dent in Deontay Wilder, he wouldn't be able to hurt Deontay Wilder well. He's had Deontay Wilder down enough times, and I think if Tyson Fury can get Wilder over and stop him, I think that Andy Ruiz definitely has the power to cause him trouble if he scores. And if history, you know, is repeated, you know, Deontay Wilder rarely controls a fight for a long period of time before lowering the boom. He's usually behind, and it would be good to see Andy Ruiz, you know, get off to a good start in that fight. I think it would be really interesting. That I would like to see. Luis Ortiz, I think, you know, should consider walking away. I just don't really see what options are available for him now.
Dougie, you know, obviously Tom's mentioned there about Deontay fighting Andy Ruiz. Is there anyone that you would like Deontay to fight? Obviously, he's got Helenius, so we've got to take that as read that's next. What's his next fight after that? Is it a big one with Ruiz, or would you like another stepping stone, or do you want him right back?
There's no doubt in my mind. They will try to make the Ruiz fight. They're not going to do it sooner as opposed to later. I could see that fight being like a big pay-per-view in May, maybe like Cinco de Mayo weekend of 2023. They can definitely juice Andy Ruiz's fan base and, you know, Wilder's fan base, which crosses over a bit. I think that could actually be a successful pay-per-view if marketed right, if put in the right place. And the right time would be May of next year. I don't like to wait that long between fights. No. I think Ruiz admitted that he needs to be busier, that he would like to fight 3 and 4 times a year. And I honestly believe that if he were fighting 4 times a year, he would be much better. He would be more, regardless of how much he weighs or what his body looks like, an active Andy Ruiz is a dangerous Andy Ruiz. That's the version of Ruiz that shocked Anthony Joshua in New York City those years ago. He had been fighting. He'd been fighting on undercards and lower level opponents.
I think he'd actually been inactive for a while, Doug. I think he'd been inactive. He had one fight.
No, he had, you know what it was? He had one comeback fight, and then like 2 weeks later, he got the opportunity to step in for Jarrell Miller against Joshua, and that's what happened. So he had that, but he had that activity. He wasn't going into that huge fight off of a long layoff. He had the rush shaker, and I think that served him well. And I definitely think, because I remember Ruiz when he was a prospect and when he was active, and he can be nimble. He actually has nimble feet if his mind is right. And if he has that activity, I think it adds to his confidence. And that's what he needs to really show up to these big fights. Because if you look at his last two fights, which were victories, and I know there are members of the ring ratings panel, I think suggested by, you know, sparked by Anson Wainwright to move him up a spot, to actually advance him at least one notch in the rankings, which would put him at like number 5 or so. I think he would supplant Dillian White, which is fair. I guess, you know, White's coming off a knockout loss. But if you actually look at these two fights, he was outboxed, I thought, for long stretches of time against the aged version of Ortiz. And his last fight was against Chris Areola. Forget about Areola's age. This is a man who has burned the candle on both ends. He was fighting, you know, Areola was basically fighting on muscle memory, you know, and that was a tough fight. That was another tough 12 rounder. And Ruiz got hurt in that fight. Ruiz got dropped in that fight. So he doesn't look like an elite heavyweight, but we know he has elite level talent. But I think he does need to get some consistency in his career, consistency with his training situation, but also he needs to get active again. But so, Trist, no doubt in my mind, if Wilder wins next month, that's the fight that's going to be made.
You know, I was thinking about this last week. I was thinking about Wilder and the path back. And there's a fight that I've not heard mentioned anywhere, but it really fascinates me. The possibility of Deontay Wilder against Daniel Dubois.
Ooh,
and I just think, you know, both extremely heavy-handed. Obviously, both have been outboxed. And, you know, I don't know. I think there's a, you know, I think that's a fun fight. I really do.
Very hard to pick as well, because, I mean, you can see a case where, I suppose it's became cliche now just to say, oh, you know, Deontay only needs to be perfect for 1 second. But it is technically true. I think that if he lands perfect on Daniel Dubois, Dubois is in trouble. But similarly, I don't think that Wilder is built to take a flush Dubois shot if he lands clean. So it's actually at the same level of attraction in a way as what the Joshua fight has, the Anthony Joshua fight has. It's just a shootout. Well, that's how it would feel.
Yeah, I thought that was a good under the radar fight that people aren't really talking, because everyone would rather see Joshua Wilder with more at stake.
Tell Dubois people he's still with Frank Warren, right?
Yep.
Tell Frank Warren to start pushing Dubois up the WBC rankings, because Deontay Wilder is a WBC fighter.
Yeah, he's got a parking space that WBC has.
He really does. So if you really want to make that fight and you want to get around the politics,
yeah,
call up Mauricio Suleiman and let's start pushing Dubois up those rankings.
Hey, so while we're talking about the heavyweight stuff, we'll make this a bit of a heavyweight special. Tyson Fury's taken to social media, as Tyson Fury does, and he's actually charitably, in inverted commas, called out Anthony Joshua. I think this is what we would call throwing him a bone. Dougie, what's your take on this? And I mean, hey, I hate to be the cynic, but this for me shows that the ring got it wrong,
don't start all that.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
I don't agree.
I'm sorry, but hey, I mean, that's
Even if Tyson was serious about the retirement, and we all knew that he wasn't, that he would fight again, it was just a matter of when, and we never know. Tyson can play games like this for 2 years going. You know, the only difference between this layoff and his previous layoff is he's in a better place mentally and spiritually and obviously financially. So he could play these games. He could tease the public. I could see him do that for 12 months. And not bat an eye and not feel any pressure to follow up on it. So, I would rather not hold the Ring Magazine heavyweight championship on ice, keep it on ice or allow Tyson Fury to hold it hostage when the best heavyweights are fighting each other. And when Usyk and Joshua fought in that rematch, I was number one versus number two. And if he hasn't made up his mind, if he's not yet really serious to get immediately back in the ring, don't hold it hostage.
We've gone down this route, and I appreciate what you guys are saying. I personally disagree, but I see what you're saying, and obviously, you know, you've got the title out and about, and regardless, you know, obviously you want the best to fight the best for the ring title, and it looks like the fight that is going to come around sooner rather than later is going to be Usyk Fury, so we'll get there regardless, really. So it's kind of doesn't really matter, we'll get there in the end. But still, Tom, what do you think about this now, Fury calling out Joshua? There's been talk about Manuel Char and all kinds of stuff.
Well, I mean, firstly, I spoke to Tyson very, very briefly via text, and what he's essentially done here has been intentional. And at the back with the belt, I mean, in the prospect of then winning the third championship and getting another belt, he's essentially admitted it in another interview as well. I don't mind that. I mean, if people were to lose their mind over it, oh, look what the ring did, they stripped Tyson Fury, you know, if it's a small price to pay if the undisputed fight comes off. So Tyson played the game. And he played the game and deserves to get away with it. He did well. But in relation to the Joshua fight, Joshua's what, lost, is it three of his last five fights now? I don't think for a second that Anthony Joshua is going to risk, you know, a fourth loss in six fights. If you've got, you just signed with DAZN. We just talked about this, Tris, before we come on. Anthony Joshua has just signed a deal with DAZN. They're not going to be too happy because the fight's not going to go on DAZN when Tyson Fury holds all the cards. They're not going to be happy allowing their acquisition to move on to another network when he's just off a loss and could potentially take another one. You need to think of Anthony Joshua's mindset right now. He's just off a very emotional loss in a, I know Tyson called it a sparring session, but I thought it was a tough fight. Certainly tough for both men. So it's not where Anthony Joshua wants to go at the minute. Plus, in terms of what Anthony Joshua is going to get purse-wise, coming off of two consecutive losses, I can only guess at what Tyson Fury or Team Fury are going to offer Anthony Joshua for that fight in terms of a split of the pie. So, no, I don't, you know, it's a bit of posturing, but I expect Tyson Fury to bend with someone else. Manuel Char is a lot more realistic.
We had some technical issues, which is why we're a little bit shorter. But Dougie, I do want to ask you about the women's fights this weekend. Obviously, Michaela Meyer is against Boomgardner. And then we've got Savannah Marshall against Clarissa Shields. So Tom's spoken to Michaela for the website. I've spoken to Clarissa last night for the website and speaking to Savannah this week. There's genuine excitement for this show over here. Is it making a noise over there? Because Clarissa is saying one of the reasons why she's come over here is because women's boxing isn't getting the same airtime and respect in the US.
Well, she's right, on average. But there are some women who have done well for themselves. Mayer is one of those women. She signed with Top Rank. Out of the amateurs, she had an extensive amateur career. She was an Olympian. She's been matched right. She's the Ring Magazine champion. She's a unified champion. And she has been showcased many times on ESPN. And that's the largest sports platform here in America. So people know who she is. And Baumgartner, God bless her. She's got power. She's got that knockout win to earn her belt. She's got the WBC title, I believe. And she not only walks the walk, she can talk the talk. So they've had a grudge match. They've had some hate going back and forth on Twitter, and fans are into that. Modern fans love that kind of stuff. So yeah, it is on the radar here in the U.S. Shields obviously is known here in the U.S. Savannah Marshall is a bit of a question mark to most American fans, even the U.S. hardcore fans. But within the boxing industry, insiders, they speak well of her. I know people who have watched her spar men, and they tell me the men play keep away with her because they can feel the power. So there's an insider buzz on Savannah Marshall.
One of the interesting things, speaking to Michaela, who I actually spoke to just on Sunday as well, is that she was actually saying this is the first full camp she's being able to have sparring just women, because normally she's got to go and find guys to spar with, but it shows the strength and depth of the sport that she's now able to get sparring everywhere. Tom, it's great to see, isn't it? It's great to see, but rather than just be patronized and say, oh yeah, it's great for women's boxing. Mm-hmm. These main two fights, they're mouth-watering fights, aren't they? I mean, particularly for me, I really want to see Shields and Marshall.
Yeah.
This 10-year amateur story that carried over. How do you see it going?
And I switch back and forth every day, Tris. Like, it's to me, I couldn't be more certain that Shields can't stop Marshall. We'll see if I eat my words here. And I couldn't be more certain that Marshall cannot outbox Shields. So to me, it's Savannah by KO or Clarissa on points. And I've handed in my official prediction that Savannah gets her, but I'm not 100% sure. You know, with great trepidation, I'm picking Savannah. And I like Michaela Mayer to outpoint Baumgartner, but I think she'll come from behind to do it.
Nice one, guys. Well, look, I appreciate that this is shorter than normal because, like I said, we had some technical issues at the start. We owe the girls a little bit more. So when we pick it up next week, we will start off talking about Clarissa Shields, Savannah Marshall, and the rest of that action from the O2. And guys, we will be back next week.
Yeah.